Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Let there be peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful morning so far of gathering together to worship you. As we continue in this service of worship and praise, we ask that you bless Brother Cal as he preaches and teaches from the Word of God, that we might be opened, our hearts might be transformed, our hearts be opened to the wisdom contained within. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Good morning. Let there be light. All right. It's good to be back with you all today. I've been away for a week, and I got more done this week than I could in 6 weeks here in town. And God's blessed me, and I just so appreciate the church moving forward and going on with that. You know, even pastors are indispensable. You understand that? I mean, God, this is His church. And so I'm thankful for all of you all that just picked up the reins of leadership and helped move forward. My, what a great crowd today. And we've got a real special fellow in our crowd today that I want to recognize. He celebrated his 400th victory as the Clarksville High School girls basketball coach. Brian Rush, we're so proud of you. Hallelujah. We've got several coaches in our congregation, and he's one of them, and does a great job for the Lord, and he's head over heels involved in FCA and some other things, but I just thank God for any time. We ought to celebrate our victories. I said we ought to celebrate our victories. And so we give God praise for what He's doing as you pour into all these young folks over at Clarksville High School and other places. Thank you, Brian. If you have a word of God, if you've got a copy of the Word of God, I tell you what, even if you don't, let's honor God's Word just by standing in the reading of His Word. We're in John 14. I'm just going to read one verse to you, and then we're going to kind of move through verses 25 through 31 together today. John chapter 14, verse 27. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Still here a few. I love to hear those pages.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 27 in John 14. Now, these are the words of Jesus. But you know what? I don't like it when preachers say that, because every word in here is the word of Jesus. He's the written word. He's the living word. But look at verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace." Say that word with me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Marvelous words from our Lord. Father, bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for His sake, all God's children said,
amen.
Please be seated. This is the second Sunday of Advent. And as you have already heard, the theme for the second Sunday in Advent is peace. We just finished. Didn't the Barnetts do a wonderful job? Yeah, praise the Lord. And we lit the candle of peace. Some would call this the Bethlehem candle. I don't have time to get into all that, but we're celebrating peace this Sunday during this season of Advent, and particularly the peace that was brought into the world when Jesus was born. Now, I love reading Scripture, especially those Christmas passages. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 I think it's verses 12 and 13. And suddenly, say that with me, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so in this, on this second Sunday in this season of Advent, we're focusing on peace. And what we need to do this morning is we need to prepare our hearts and our minds as we begin to celebrate and move towards the birth of Jesus. Now, it's kind of reflective of John the Baptist's ministry. You know, his responsibility was to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the Lord. And he did that through preaching. Isaiah the prophet did somewhat the same thing. 700 years before Christ was even born. 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah predicted and prophesied that a descendant of Jesse would usher in peace to the nations of the world. And he gave a title to that one who would bring peace. He called him the Prince of Peace. Very good. Y'all are with me. So that's what we want to do this morning. We want to prepare our hearts and our minds as we celebrate the first Advent, the coming and the birth of the Lord Jesus, but also as we look forward to the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus. You do know He's coming again. Look at your neighbor, whoever your neighbor is. Maybe y'all don't have a neighbor, but look at somebody and tell them He's coming. Now, we're in John chapter 14 this morning, and the tenor and tone of this text will help us to prepare for the Prince of Peace, for this Christmas season, this Advent season that we're in. And so there's three tremendous truths here that jump out at me this morning. And the first of those is found in verse 27. We must receive His peace. The peace that we're talking about has to be received. Now, most of you all are going to get a Christmas gift. There may be one or two in here who don't get any gifts because you've been naughty all year, right? You're going to get a gift, but in order, and it'll be all wrapped up or in a nice Christmas bag or something of that nature. And in order to get the gift, you've got to do what? You've got to take the gift. You've got to receive the gift. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, six times in John's gospel, the Greek word irenin, which is our word for Irene, means peace. But we're not talking, the scriptures there in John's, when he uses that word peace, not talking about absence of war or conflict or distress. He's talking about a peace that brings joy and contentment that the world doesn't know anything about. Hello? And then, of course, you know the Hebrew word for peace. What is it? Well, six of you do. Shalom. And you know, they still use that word over there in that part of the world. Shalom, it means goodbye and hello. Y'all know that, right? And it carries with it, Teddy, every time I think of this word shalom, which means peace. How many of y'all have seen teddy bears with a shirt that has peace signs on it? Have you ever heard it? Anybody ever said to you when you were like, peace out? Well, that's where this comes from. It comes from this word shalom. And it carries with it a sense of wholeness and completeness and even a sense of health and security and prosperity even in its truest sense of the word. And so we're talking about peace. And when Jesus was born, hallelujah, the disciples saw this peace over and over again in the Lord Jesus. They saw this peace when He stilled the storms. Did y'all know the Greek language? When Jesus stilled those storms, He looked at the wind and the waves and He said, sit down and shut up. They saw that peace when he stilled the storm. They saw that peace when every day when droves and droves of people were pressing in on him to receive deliverance and healing that he could bring. They saw that peace when the religious leaders, his enemies, wanted to do harm to him and kill him. They saw that peace over and over and over again. And so we all remember how they saw that peace when Jesus died. And they saw and experienced the peace that passes all understanding when he was betrayed and beaten and bruised and bloodied. And they saw that peace over and over and over again when he was mocked and ridiculed and scorned and spit upon and treated terribly and he was crucified. They saw that peace. Now, Jesus presented that peace to his disciples. And then here in our passage, what does he tell them? He says, I'm going away. I'm going away. And where he was going, they couldn't come just yet. And so their hearts are troubled. He's going away. But you see, in order for the Holy Spirit to come and fill every believer, he had to go. In other words, Jesus' goodbye would become the Spirit's hello. Oh, you need to write that one down. Jesus' goodbye became the Spirit's hello. And so the ascension gift of our Lord to the disciples and his believers was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And if you have that Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in you, you've got the same peace that Jesus had when he was here. Ooh, mercy. That is good. Matter of fact, that's better than good. That's great. That's mighty big. That's awesome. And so, I can't say it enough. I'm really struggling with how to get that across to us this morning. How do you get that kind of peace? How do you have peace with God? Well, I think Betty mentioned it earlier. Faith. In order to have peace with God, you've got to exercise your faith. You've got to turn to Him as your only means of salvation, surrendering everything that you are to everything that He is. And then you get that peace with God. Aren't you thankful for peace with God today? But hallelujah, you can have that peace on a daily basis. Every day you can have that peace. It's available for every believer. Why? Because you have the peace of Jesus in your heart and in your life. Thank Jesus for the peace that He brings. I am so grateful for Him. And no wonder here. I like what John says here in verse 9, chapter 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. We've got peace that the world doesn't know anything about. You see, the world's peace depends on its resources, but our peace depends on our relationship. Hallelujah. The world doesn't know this kind of peace. But if you're in Christ, you have His Spirit in you, and you've got that peace. Look at your neighbor and say, wow, peace. Peace, real peace. Peace with God. And when the Spirit of God came and indwelt those believers, man, they had power. They had the presence of God and they had the peace of God. And you've got that same power, presence, and peace today. Amen. Sometimes I just want to grab some of these believers, just shake them. Do you not know who you are? You're one of His. And you've got His peace. And can I say it like this? Because the sun is up there and the Spirit's in here, the saints can have victory out there. Hallelujah. But you've got to receive that peace on a daily basis the same way you got it with God, by faith. And you have to exercise that faith on a daily basis, Lord, I need peace right now. Memorize Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We won't go there. And so that's the first truth I wanted to get to you. We must receive His peace. But secondly, we may rejoice in His peace. Say rejoice with me. Rejoice. Woo, y'all are on it. Billy, would you bring me that chair over here? Thank you. Look at verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Because I said, thank you, brother. This old knee of mine is kind of going south right now, but I'm okay. Say, you're okay, preacher.
You're okay.
All right. can I share something with y'all? I got my Medicare card yesterday. So after the first of the year, I'm going to get something done about this knee of mine. So anyways, all right, verse 20, that has nothing to do with this. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Say rejoice. Because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Whoo! And now look at verse 29. It gets even better. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. We can rejoice in His peace for two reasons. First of all, because it was better for Jesus. He was going back to the Father. He was going back to that world where He was that world's chief delight. You know, for a time and for a season, when Jesus was born and became a man, He had to do that so that He could pay the price for our salvation. He was fully God and fully man. And so in order to do that, He had to lay aside all of that majesty and that Shekinah glory, that splendor, that exaltation that He had before. He had to lay that aside. Now, from time to time, we got glimpses of the glory, didn't He? Didn't we? When He fed the 5,000 and He still, we saw some of that. But for the most part, that all of that was laid to the side. But now He's going back to the Father. And can I read the parallel verse to you on this? It's in Philippians 2. Just listen to this. I'll read it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Say amen.
Amen.
And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that at the name of Jesus, hallelujah, every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so it was good for Jesus that He was going home. Hallelujah. So He was going back to the Father, and that was good for Him. And by the way, don't you know that must have been a scene when Jesus got back to heaven? And He walks up to the throne, and the Father embraces Him and announces to a redeemed universe, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus sat down because the work was finished and completed. Hallelujah. And so I can preach a little bit sitting down. Did y'all know that? I'm just finding that out. Anyways, it's the same. Some of y'all have lost a loved one lately. You had to say goodbye to somebody you love dearly, and that loved one was a believer. Well, where is that loved one today? He or she is with the glorified Christ.
Amen.
So it was good. We can rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
That Jesus went back to the Father. But then secondly, it was good for the disciples. Now watch this. Whew, Man, this is great. Can I read verse 29 to you again? You know I'm going to anyways. And now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. It was good for the disciples that Jesus was going back and that the Spirit would come. It was good for them. Because if Jesus didn't go back, the Spirit couldn't come. Because when Jesus was here physically, He could only be in one spot at one time. He couldn't be everywhere. But bless God, whatever God's doing today, He's doing through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit indwells in every believer all over the planet. And the Holy Spirit's everywhere. Hallelujah. And so it was good for the believers that Jesus was going back. And by the way, did you catch that? Here's the reason we can rejoice. The latter part of verse 29 says, so that you may believe. Well, I thought the disciples already believed. Not to the point that they did here. Y'all remember that ragtag bunch of believers? They're always fussing and fighting and arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the coming kingdom. They never really understood the deeper truths of Scripture. They didn't get it. But hallelujah. After Jesus got back to heaven and the Spirit indwelt them, they turned the world upside down because they believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They got the gospel. They believed. They understood it. And by the way, it's the Holy Spirit's job to teach. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, you'll remember everything that I told you. Aren't you thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit? You can rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Now, it was better for Jesus to go back to where His Heavenly Father was, and it's better for the disciples that He would go back. And it's better for us. Glory to His name. How many of you figured out God knows what He's doing? He knows what He's doing. Now, here we go. There's one final truth, and I really want you all to see this. We marvel at the result of His peace. Somebody's about to get set free, and I don't know who it is. Let me read verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise. Let's get out of here. Jesus brings up two of our greatest enemies, the world and the devil. You know, the world has its own system, has its own way of doing things. And whether you know it or not, Christian, whether you know it or not, child of God, whether you know it or not, believer, the world is against you. Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the life and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the world brings trouble and trial and tribulation against us. How many of you understand that? The world is not your friend. Listen to what Jesus said in the last verse of chapter 16. These things I have spoken to you. In other words, Jesus said, I've said all of that to say this. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Tell somebody, I'm fighting with a defeated enemy. Our battle is against defeated enemies. And then he brings up the devil. Isn't the devil just a liar? He is a thief. Scripture tells us that he comes to steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your life. He wants to wipe you out. He wants to take you to hell. He knows his goose is cooked, and so he's going to try to take as many as he can with him. But bless God, 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. He's been defeated. Our battle is with defeated enemies. You've got not only peace with God, but you've got the peace of God. And you've got Jesus. By the way, do you know what Jesus is doing right now? According to Hebrews 7:25, there's somebody in heaven praying for you. He has a prayer ministry. And you're never more like Jesus than when you're a part of a prayer ministry. Jesus is praying for you. How can you lose? He's defeated the devil. Lock, stock, and barrel. Our battle is with defeated enemies. You can have victory. And Jesus said, He has nothing in me. In other words, He can have no foothold in my life. He can't find. And by the way, you do know if the devil can find an inch, he'll take a mile. But not with Jesus and not with you. If you've got His Spirit in your life, He has no right, He has no power, He has no authority in your life except that which you allow Him to have. You stop letting Him have any right or power or authority in your life. He doesn't have any of that over you. Jesus has won the victory. He has won the victory. I know you're going to have tough times. I know things are going to happen that really, really test your faith. I get all of that. But my brother and my sister, Jesus has taken care of everything. And you're going to be okay. And you can have peace with God through salvation this morning. And you can have the peace of God on a daily basis. Whew. Here it is. Adam, you can start queuing up that video. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in him. Amen. You can have the peace of God today if you keep your mind on him, because you've got his peace in you. You've got all of that today. Now, I haven't loaded up a video. I've stressed old Adam McCullough out to the max. And I've sent him a video because I wanted you all to see this video. It's a little bit, it's got some age on it. But man, it says, y'all, how many of you know the battle is over? The war has been won. Jesus is taking care of everything. And so this song that you're about to hear, I just, y'all know how old school I am. I'm a Gaither fan. Gloria Gaither has written some of the greatest gospel music ever written. They sang it a whole lot better than I can say it. The battle is over. It's finished. Everything that's been done for your peace has been done. You can have peace with God this morning, but it comes through faith. You've got to receive it. You got to be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus by faith. And the Bible says if you'd be willing to surrender your entire life to Him, whatever time you got left, the Bible says He will receive you. And then He'll place His Spirit in you. And He'll give you peace and love and joy and truth. And a whole plethora of other things. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just a little bit troubled about something. You've got some kind of trial, tribulation. You've got something going on in your life and you don't understand it. Well, guess what? God will give you the strength to get over whatever it is you got to get through. He will. He said He would. I don't know who this message is for today. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but God will give you peace today. And you need to come and ask for it. You remember what we talked about? It's got to be received. You can have that peace on a daily basis. And so in just a moment, Nikki's going to lead us in a hymn or a song of response. And I want to ask you, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to get up out of your seat. And if you need peace with God, if you truly need to be born again and saved, this is the day to do it. And if you need peace over some situation, peace that passes all understanding, you can receive that kind of peace on a daily basis today if you have Him. And I'm just going to ask you to just rise all over the building. Just come and flood this altar with the prayers of God's people. Nikki, you sing.
Let's stand.
Y'all
together.
Stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.